this meeting back to order with no exec, with no action taken in executive session at 7:41. Before we get started, I probably need to make a few announcements. First of all, thank you, parents, for bringing your children. This part right here is the best part of our day, or any of our meetings, is seeing all these kids that are, your principals and your teachers are the ones that nominate them, and so that means they're outstanding, and we appreciate it. The second thing, y'all notice all this, this month is Board Appreciation Month, and I want to thank our principals and our departments that put together a little package for us. We get this once a year, and it's much appreciated, the thoughts that they have for us. And also, I'd like to, this is our first meeting since Christmas. Hope all y'all had a great Christmas and a good New Year. Every time we get to do these Christmas parties and stuff at these elementary schools and stuff, it's just outstanding. We don't get to brag on them enough. I don't know how they move all of us parents in and out the way they do. It's just remarkable. I watched it this year. Both of my grandkids are in Central, and so get to sit firsthand at Central. I'm sorry I don't get to sit at the other elementary schools, but I'm sure they work just as well and fine, and I want to thank them for all that hard work. We just don't get the opportunity. It seems like it's further and further away. The other thing, Miss Carter, she's not here. Her son is a senior playing basketball, and tonight they're playing in Athens. But Miss Carter and her crew put together a luncheon or a tea for all the employees, and the work that they put into that is just crazy at how much work they put into it. And all the employees get to come through here on their off time, and every year it just gets better and better and better. And I don't know how they had, 500 people or so come through, and they get to come in here during their off hour and get to talk to teachers from other schools and kind of catch up, and it's just a great deal. And then the last thing, I don't know how many of y'all know Dr. Marshall. Dr. Marshall was our superintendent for 17 years, and then we hired another superintendent, and he left, and we asked him to come back as our interim. We just got through talking about this. The interim has taken a little longer than what I think he thought it was going to take, but we are so much appreciative of it. Tonight is normally when we do a superintendent's evaluation and stuff. Obviously, we don't do that with an interim, but from my perspective, it's outstanding. What he's put together and you guys together, it's a great deal for our district, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows how much we appreciate it as a board on how this is going, and thank Dr. Marshall for his time. Mostly Miss Marshall for letting me come up here and stay with us.
She likes it. She makes all the work 4 hours.
Get the second job.
Yeah, don't you need to go to...
All right. So with that being said, we'll move into our opening activities. Let's see. We have the intermediate campus going to help us with the pledge. First of all, we're going to have an invocation. I'm going to ask Mr. Teague to lead us if you'd like to join us, and we'll have the pledge right after he gets through.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to serve this school district, the students, and the community here. Just ask that you continue to keep us safe, Lord, that we continue to make decisions that are best for each and every student. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, our students from
intermediate kiddos, you want to come up?
Please.
Come up with
the pledges.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, thank you. We can get her here later. First thing we're going to do is spotlight. Dr. Marshall, you going to take care of all this?
I am. Well, are we doing star first or spotlight?
If you want, it's got us on there first, right, but if you want to do the kids first.
Let's do it.
Okay. We'll do the kids first until we're already up there.
Okay. Christmas is good to me. Folks, this is a great time. As Mr. Grimes said, we get to love on kids. They're nominated by their teachers and their administrators, and that's why you're here. You know, first time a new board member comes out and sees all these people. Oh, they came to the board meeting 5 minutes after the last one's recognized, and your seat will be empty. We can sell it to somebody else. But today, we want to start by recognizing the star students from the intermediate campus. So, Ms. Bolton's the leader of that crew, and she's going to talk to you about it.
All right. I have Aaron Porter here. Aaron is hardworking and a respectful student who is determined to learn and grow each day. She approaches every day with a positive attitude and always gives her best effort. Aaron is kind and helpful to her classmates and is someone others can count on. Her teachers are proud of her progress and the way she supports those around her. She is truly a delightful student. Aaron Porter.
All right. Y'all can start. Y'all can come up here from this group because we'll take pictures at the end too. So start making your way up.
We have Emma Walmart. Emma came to us later in the year and is the right fit from the start. She is an incredibly smart student, respectful, and a joy to have in class. Emma has shown great growth in her reading skills while also building strong friendships. She works well independently but truly shines in group settings, often leading discussions and encouraging deeper thinking among her peers. She cares not only about her own learning, but also the success of others around her, making her a wonderful star student candidate. All right, gentlemen. Next, we have Dax Nixon. Dax is kind, funny, and brings a positive attitude to our classroom each day. He always has a smile on his face and has a happy disposition that brightens the room. Dax is respectful to both peers and adults and is always willing to help his classmates when they need support. He works hard, gives his best effort, and approaches challenges with determination. Dax is an amazing student and a joy to teach, and he is very deserving of this recognition. Cyrus Chandler. Cyrus consistently exhibits exemplar behavior in the classroom and across the campus. He demonstrates responsibility, respect, and strong self-discipline by staying focused and fully engaged in his learning. Cyrus's willingness to help his peers and set academic and behavioral goals for himself and his hard work to achieve them is what sets him apart from others. He consistently strives for excellence and serves as a positive role model for all.
Good. One more time, intermediate. Let's go, Central Elementary. Come on. Woo, we got some stars. Let's go from little all the way to fourth grade. Come on up here. Find that.
Oh my goodness.
Better watch, I'll keep some of these now. I'll see. That empty nest, we'll fill that over there.
Precious. All right.
Come on, we got one more. Oh, she's not there. I think that's the first we had in the pocket.
All right, we're going to start with. with our third grader. This is Paisley Farmer from Ms. Woodard's class. Ms. Woodard says, Paisley is one of a kind. She consistently demonstrates kindness, respect, and empathy towards her peers and adults. She is constantly offering to help her classmates and leads by example in her actions. She goes above and beyond in her academic work, shows strong attention to details, and takes pride in the quality of her work. Paisley's genuine care for others inspires her classmates and makes her a valued member of our class. We are truly blessed to know Paisley. All right, and next we have our second grader, Miss Chloe Burkham from Miss Hebel's class. Miss Hebel says, I am thrilled to recognize Chloe Burkham as my superintendent star student. Chloe embodies the exceptional qualities that make her truly stand out in our classroom. She has the kindest heart and is such a light, always brightening the mood with her silly and kind spirit. She is incredibly helpful, a diligent worker, and always upholds our social contract. Ms. Hebel says, I am so proud of her accomplishments and feel grateful to have her in my class this year. Keep shining bright, Chloe. And next we have our first grader, Ms. Harlan Wall. All right, turn around, thank you. There we go. Harlan is a remarkable student and a classmate who cares deeply about those around her. She encourages her peers, shares her thinking, and naturally steps into leadership roles. Her attention to detail and ability to implement thoughtful, effective ideas set her apart. Others look to Harlan as a positive role model and leader. Ms. Heisler says, her heart brightens our classroom and makes a positive impact on others. Ms. Harlan Wall.
All right.
All right. And in kindergarten, we have Ms. Colby Pruitt from Ms. Sales class. Ms. Sales says, Colby is a student who always tries her best, listens carefully, and shows kindness to everyone. She loves learning and comes to class with a big smile every day. She is a wonderful example of a kindergarten superstar. She follows classroom rules, participates eagerly in activities, and shows respect to teachers and friends. She is always one of the leaders in our class and is a great example. Ms. Sales says, keep up the amazing work.
One more time. Sit down.
Right, Southside kiddos.
Brightest stars on the south side. Come on. December, January.
That's my turn.
All six are here. Come on up here, big man. Come on up here. We got it. Find you a spot anywhere you want to stand. There you go. Oh.
You're good. You're okay.
There you go.
You're okay.
All right. Let's hear from Southside.
We're going to start with Miley Cake Shave. She's a third grader in Ms. Shillette's class. She is always kind, considerate, and helpful to her classmates. She collaborates well with others and actively seeks ways to assist both her peers and her teacher. Her positive attitude, willingness to help, and dedication to working well with others make her a role model in the classroom and a student who helps Southside shine through her kindness and leadership.
There you go,
stay. Zithin Garrick is a first grader in Ms. Moorback's class. He is an exceptional student who demonstrates both kindness and resilience. He approaches challenges with determination and shows strength and perseverance in his learning. Bentley consistently supports his classmates and contributes positively to the classroom environment. His hard work, determination, and positive attitude helps him shine at Southside by inspiring others to do their best. All right. Thank Ogden as a pre-K student in Ms. Carter's class. Chase consistently gives 110% to all his work and approaches every task with enthusiasm and a positive attitude. He is kind and caring to all his friends and all his classmates and is often one of the first to offer help when someone is in need. His thoughtfulness and dedication make him a true leader in the classroom and a shining example of the kindness and teamwork that makes Southside a special place. Isabella Amaya is a second grader in Ms. Little's class. She is truly deserving of being recognized as a superintendent star student. She consistently displays a positive attitude, follows all classroom expectations, and shows respect to everyone around. She actively participates in class, puts forth her best effort in all tasks, and is always striving to do her very best. Her kindness and joyful presence make her a pleasure to have in the classroom each day and help Southside shine. Addison Weller is a fourth grader in Ms. Adams' class. She is one of those dream students that teachers are truly lucky to have in their classroom. She is always ready, willing, and able to step up and help her fellow classmates in any way she can. She works hard in everything she does, whether it's academics, extracurricular activities, or simply helping to brighten someone's day. Her leadership, work ethic, and caring nature make her a wonderful role model and a true asset to Southside. Araceli DeLuna is a kindergartner in Ms. Polly's class. She shows tremendous growth throughout the year and a caring nature shines beyond measure. She is kind to her classmates, eager to learn, and always willing to help others. She approaches each school day with enthusiasm, a positive attitude that uplifts those around her, and her continued growth and sweet spirit make her a shining example of what it means to be a Southside star.
One more time, Southside. Keys, you'll need those. Okay, Lakeview, your time to shine. Come on. Thank y'all, ones that say, thank you, parents and grandparents and everybody. All right, Lakeview, come on.
Wow.
4, 6, 5, there we go. Now we're all, we got a full house of them.
Here we go. Thank you, brothers. Here we go.
Yeah, if y'all want to move up close where you can hear and see, come on. Okay. Lakeview Stars, come on.
All right, we'll start right over here with our pre-K student. This is Ivy Martinez, and her teacher said that she's a very special young lady. She's smart, kind, and dependable. She brings joy into the classroom each day, always ready to learn, helps others without being asked, and is a friend to everybody. She truly has a heart of gold. She's so incredibly proud of the way she shines. Ivy makes our classroom a better place, and I cannot wait to see everything she accomplishes during the years at Lakeview. Congratulations.
Ma'am, over here, Bobby.
All right, then next we have our kindergarten student. This is Nora Sanchez. Her teacher says that she's a smart little girl with a great personality. She's curious, eager to learn, and enjoys new challenges. She's kind, respectful, and works well with others, always having a positive attitude every day. So congratulations. Next, we have our fourth grader. This is Beckham Cormier. His teacher said that he is an exceptional student who consistently goes above and beyond in the classroom. He demonstrates a positive attitude, a strong work ethic, and a genuine commitment to doing his best every day. He follows all expectations, actively participates in learning, and serves as a positive role model for his classmates. His character, effort, and leadership truly reflects the highest standards in our school. Alright, then next we have our third grader. This is Joseph Lawson. Ed says that he is a sweet and kind kid who treats everyone like a friend. He tries his best no matter what he's doing, and that effort shows in the way he helps others and stays positive. His caring heart and determination make him a joy to be around and someone that we can always count on. He follows all directions and respects his teachers and classmates. We have our first grader. This is Abigail Kell. She is kind and helpful and always willing to support others. She works hard in everything she does and never gives up, even when tasks are challenging. Abby consistently sets a good example for her classmates through her positive attitude. Her dedication and kindness make her a valued member of our classroom. So congratulations.
They figured it out.
And then we have our second grader. This is Kiara Salamanca. Her teacher said that she is an amazing student who brings positivity and determination into the classroom every day. She works hard, asks thoughtful questions, and always tries her best, even when the learning is challenging. She shows kindness to others and takes pride in doing her work the right way. Her effort, attitude, and growth truly make her someone to be proud of.
Parents, y'all got them? Hey, there we go.
Come here, baby.
I got a perfect.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful way to start out here on Sunday. Heard earlier we were bragging on the board because of their service, and since this is board appreciation month, I would like to recognize each board member for what they do and tell them thank you, because this is a big operation. A lot of people don't understand how much it takes to run this. They oversee the budget, they oversee the policy, and they oversee me, maybe their hardest job.
And first, I would like to honor Todd Grimes, our chairman, for dedicated leadership in public education and continuing service to the children of this community.
Stay up here, because we're going to take them all at once. All right, stay up here.
Done here right now is next, Mr. Robert Teague. I suggest you go around because this is a little challenge to you. Mr. Brian Miller. Mr. John Litchfield, 46. I didn't think there was room for me.
That's
perfect.
Perfect. Thank you. Give one more time for our board.
I don't know
what I'm going to say. Say again.
Y'all don't get to leave that meeting here, so you don't get to.
That's exactly right. All right.
I'll try to be more careful.
Our littlest board member is not here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's playing basketball. His daughter's playing basketball.
Which they won, by the way.
They did win?
They did. Pretty convincing.
Yes. I'm going to put his plaque in the middle of his. Okay.
Playing like your daddy. Not really.
So the third one now is the high school FFA LDE state qualifiers.
Right. Who? You can't argue about who walks in first. Come on.
I don't know where we're supposed to go.
Bless you. Bless you. All right, I'll introduce our ag teachers. So, Mrs. Stutz are here, and then Mr. Smith are here, and they're going to talk about, we don't have all of them here, some of them are gone for some other activities tonight, but they're going to talk about our LDE state qualifiers in ag.
So we had two qualifiers. It's a pretty big deal, it really is. Even on any level, it's pretty awesome to qualify for state. One of the teams that qualified was our junior skills team. They demonstrate a hands-on demonstration. Our skill is PVC pipe plumbing, so they put together a PVC system and they pressure it up with water, and it actually works, and they have to do it in front of judges, and it's a big speaking event. Though, can you introduce them individually? All right, so Claire, you want to say hello?
Hi guys.
we're glad to have, and then Harlow Parker, she was one of them, and then Reed Davis. He's not here with us today. He's playing basketball in Athens. He wasn't going to miss basketball, and I understand that. What they do is you have to, when you get to the state level, we have to go through our district, and they won our district. And we went to area, and we were second coming out of our area. And what happens at area is, for both these teams, is it's the top two teams from your district go. So they have to be, it's not just the 10 of them to them, it's the top two teams. There's six districts, correct? Mm-hmm. Six districts in our area. They were number two coming out of our...
Most of Tarrant County School, and this is 1A through 6A, Tarrant County Schools, Kaufman County.
It goes all the way up to
all
Greenville.
All the way to Denton.
Almost,
yeah.
Almost to Oklahoma.
Hundreds of schools, I don't know how many, but probably in the 200s.
And there, we get to the state contest, they have what they call prelims, and it's they break them into heats, so there's 24 teams, and that's the top 24 teams in the state. They break them in heaps. They bring back the top five from each heat. We did find out we were the number six team coming out of our heat, so we were this close to being in the top 10 coming to state. But we're pretty proud of them. They did a good job. There was 320 junior skills teams in the state of Texas, and we'll take that top 12 for sure. We're pretty proud of them. Want to talk about?
So the other team that advanced to state was the Ag Advocacy Team. So what it is they pick a topic in agriculture and they advocate about it. Our topic was breeding poultry shows, which is kind of close to my heart, and we're putting on a breeding poultry show, so I thought it kind of fit the mold. The team was Morgan Turner, Keely Bohannon, and then Riley Lyons, who had a soccer game tonight. But they went to district and got first, they went to area and got first, and then went to state and advanced to finals and ended up top 10 in the state. There was 428 teams. So
they were number 10, which is...
Yeah, number 10.
Was really, really awesome.
428.
It's a big deal. But most of those contests are all speaking events, so it's based on their presentation, their delivery. Y'all want to demonstrate for them? These kids are exceptional at what they did, and we're super proud of them, and it's a big accomplishment. It's been... They worked really hard for it, really, really hard for it. So we're excited.
Great job. Get in there.
Taylor, you can come out here in the center if you want to.
I'm sure my daughter wouldn't mind just me standing back here.
Thank you.
I tell you, before you take off,
yes, sir.
One of the things that I know all of us, being a multi-anything in school is a great thing. Thanks for sharing. I know the basketball and soccer, but without sharing, we don't have teams that we have. It's a big deal to us up here that these kids get involved in as much as possible as they can.
Well, thank y'all for your support.
Yeah, thank you for...
We're ready to go the next round.
Thank them tomorrow when you see them for what they've done and what they're doing tonight.
Thank y'all very much.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank y'all.
Mr. Tracy, anybody sign?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right, this time we'll have a public hearing for the Annual Texas Academic Performance Report, TAPR, for the 2024-25 school year.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. Today we're here to share the Mavic ISD Annual Report for the 24-25 academic year. As we look at the report, let's remember to celebrate the growth achieved by our district. I just wanted us to remember, this is a very statistical presentation, but behind every number is a story. Each statistic, each data point represents a student's achievement, a teacher's dedication, and a community's support. In this report, we'll cover first, compliance with TEC 39306 to ensure transparency and accountability. Next, we'll review our district's educational performance, which reflects our commitment to maintaining high standards. And for those interested in more detailed information, the TAPR report will be accessible on the website within 14 days of today's public hearing. It will also be accessible at campus offices. The 2025 accountability ratings for MAVIC ISD are a solid B. We had an 85. Our district is on an exciting path of growth and excellence, which is a testament to the dedication of both our students and our staff. Third grade is a pivotal milestone for our students. At this stage, children transition from learning to read to reading to learn. When students excel in reading by third grade, it sets the stage for long-term academic success. We're talking about higher graduation rates and readiness for college and careers. Over the last couple of years, we've seen some fantastic growth. From 24 to 25, our third grade students increased at their meets grade level proficiency by 8 points. And from 23 to 25, mastery levels rose by 10 points. That's really impressive progress. Medic ISD is just not meeting expectations, we're exceeding them. These results highlight the strong foundation we're building in early literacy, which positions our students for success in every subsequent grade level. We're strengthening academic achievement across all core subjects. Our students are truly excelling and have shown growth, consistently exceeding both state and regional averages. This is not just about numbers, it's about building a strong foundation for lifelong learning. First, we'll talk about reading language arts. Our students have steadily increased their performance at both the meets and master's level, surpassing the state and regional benchmarks. This is a testament to our dedicated teachers and hardworking students. Moving on to social studies, we've achieved the highest performance overall with continued growth among our advanced learners. It's a subject where students consistently excel, outperforming their peers across the state and region. Lastly, we've had positive gains in math and science. We're seeing steady improvements at the meets level, showcasing our targeted growth strategies are working. In summary, our school progress measures indicate positive trends in both reading and math, reflecting our commitment to ensuring every student achieves their full potential. The post-secondary readiness of Maybank class of 2024. Our graduates are not just leaving high school, they're surpassing state and regional benchmarks across all readiness measures. This truly is a celebration of our commitment to every heart, every mind, every day. Our four-year graduation rate is 95.6%. This is significantly higher than both the region at 89.5% and the state at 90.7%. In terms of college, career, and military readiness, 99.6% of graduates are prepared. Specifically, 84.9% are college ready, which is well above the state's 70%. Our students excel in dual credit courses as well, with a completion rate of 43.5%, almost double the state's 25.1%. Industry-based certifications are another area of strength, with 58.3% earning certifications compared to the state's 34.9%. Lastly, level 1 and 2 certificates are obtained by 10.3% of our students, far surpassing the state average of just 1.1%. These figures not only highlight academic excellence, but also reflect the robust support systems that we have in place. Maybank's attendance rate is 94.5%. Our students are attending school more consistently than many other peers across the state and region. The attendance rate is a testament to the strong culture we've cultivated, the robust partnerships we have with families, and the high level of student engagement. Our annual dropout rate stands at 0.2%. This is significantly lower, about 9 to 12 times lower, than the state and regional averages. This achievement reflects the powerful relationships, engagement, and effective systems we have in place to keep our students connected and thriving in school. This slide highlights our demographics and enrollment by program for the 24-25 school year. This data is crucial as it provides us a clear picture of our student body and helps us tailor our educational strategies to meet their unique needs. We are committed to ensuring each student receives the support they need to thrive. Understanding these demographics allows us to create programs that are not just effective, but equitable and accessible for all students. Our aim is to foster an environment where every student feels valued and empowered to succeed. Our teachers truly are the heart of our success. On average, they bring 11 years of experience to their classrooms. Their dedication and expertise play a pivotal role in not just educating, but inspiring our students every day. We owe a lot to these educators who are not just teachers, but mentors and role models. Our number one goal as educators is maintaining a safe, supportive, and student-centered learning environment. This is crucial for fostering effective learning and development for every student. The discipline report provides us with valuable insights into how well we're doing in creating these environments. Last year, we had zero incidents of violent and criminal behavior. And that website is available if anybody would like to go see that report. Texas Higher Education reports each year on how well our students are transitioning from high school to higher education here in Texas. This information indicates that about 38% of the 2023 graduating class attended a 2 or 4 year university. Among those, 75% maintained a 2.0 or higher. As we continue to focus on college and career readiness, our students will continue to improve in their post-secondary readiness. And lastly, these are our proposed board goals, which serve as a roadmap for success for all of our students. Starting with goal number one, we will focus on early childhood literacy and math. Our aim is to ensure that by 2030, students are strong readers and mathematicians by the end of third grade. Currently, we have a baseline of 54% for third grade reading and 58% for third grade math. Our target is ambitious but achievable, with a goal of increasing to 80% in reading and 78% in math. And those are based on benchmarks that the state sets for closing the gap stumbling. This will have a huge impact by creating a stronger foundation, foundational skills, meaning greater success in later grades. Goal two focuses on college, career, and military readiness. Although we are at 100% accountability for CCMR, we want to begin shifting our focus on how students obtain readiness. We aim to ensure our students are well prepared for life after high school through increased success on college entrance exams, as well as a higher number of students with level 1 and 2 certifications, making them even more prepared for the workforce when they graduate high school. Together, these goals represent our commitment to providing every student with the opportunity to succeed. And that is the 24-25 annual report. Do y'all have any questions?
Anything else, ma'am?
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll move on to consent agenda items. We'll do A through F, and then Mr. Hyde can get with those. November 13th, A is November 13th, 2025 special board meeting minutes. B, November 17th, 2025 regular board meeting minutes. C is 2025 November and December financial report. D is 2025 November and December check register report. E is 2025 November and December cash position report. And F is 2025 November and December tax collection report.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, you'll notice you have 2 months of reports attached there for both November and December, since we have a December board meeting. Looking at the board financial report from December, general fund revenues exceeded expenditures by $4.417 million, which is typical for this stage. If you'll recall, state aid flows September through November. Really, we start seeing property taxes flow in December through March, and we look at typically having peak cash around the February-March stage is when we're going to see most of our property taxes come in. After that stage, it'll start trickling off a little bit. You're going to see revenues slow down a little bit, with expenditures staying keeping pace. So sometimes we see this large number here, just want to kind of, it can be a little deceived, a little high at this time of the year, and we'll see it continue to grow, but just want to keep into consideration the cycle of revenues there. At the end of the report, you'll see a $3.3 million loss. It's because our construction bond fund is included in this, which we're going to be spending and have expenditures as we see these buildings go up. So we spent about $12.3 million to this point in this fiscal year. And we're going to continue to see that go up as we progress through our building projects. As far as cash, right now, ending December, we were sitting at $132,380,000, still earning a little over 4% across that period with regard to interest rates. Tax collections are on point with what we've seen in prior years. Last year, we're at 38%, a little bit higher occurrence, but delinquents are a little bit lower. So right on track with where we typically are at this time of year with regard to financials.
All right. G, budget amendments?
None.
H, quarterly investment report?
You've got an attachment there as well. Again, we've had another good quarter with regard to investments. I just spoke that said that interest rates were in excess for this quarter of a little over 4%. So we earned almost $1.5 million over this last quarter. Majority of that's going to be towards the bond, which is great. Building up the construction fund, but we do need to keep in mind we do have to retain part of that as we're earning above our arbitrage rate, so we're going to protect ourselves. But we're doing really good right now on interest across the board. Really seeing the results of that advantageous depository contract we've got locked in, as well as utilizing our investment pools.
Monthly donation report. The first one is a $5,000 for baseball from Heggie Foundation. Two is $1,575 for DAEP gym floor from MYBA. Three is $1,100 for baseball for by Elder Dodge. Four is a $500 donation for baseball by Brad and Crystal Gilmore. And five is a $750 for FFA leadership team from Toys for Tots.
So over the past 12 years, since 2012, Tully's Karaoke and Gunbarrel City Toys for Tots has teamed together, as most of you know, to do Christmas in October for some of the kids around here. This is Geneva Garcia. She's the president. I'm the PR director. So we this year we raised over $190,000 October the 18th for this year. We serviced over about 962 kids across every school district that touched the lake. So if your school district touched the lake, such as Baybank, Kemp, Malakoff, Eustace, Trinidad, I guess those are the five schools that do. We serviced every one of those kids that came to us for applications. So during that night, you know, we had a great live auction and silent auction and raffles. And for the last 2 years, we've asked the FFA officers from Maybank to come in and help tidy up the tables after people get through eating, serve some tea. And these officers are just part of what you heard a while ago, some of the kids that are in FFA. But these officers do us a great job, and they do a lot of running till 10 or 10:30 at night. And so that we're asking that that this check for $750 that we'd like to donate that would go to the leadership conference when those kids go out and leave for meals or something like that.
She wants a picture.
Okay.
Oh,
he's going to give it back to me?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a good deal. All of my kids have a lot of money.
They work hard.
They did.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Nope, we got two more things. You're on the right track, though. No, you're on the right track. Thank you, Mr. Tooley. Ms. Garcia. Thank y'all. All right. J, property tax resales?
None.
All right. K, out of state trips?
None.
All right. Mr. Connor.
Hold me.
Yeah.
I'm going to present to approve consent agenda.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Connor. Second from Mr. Litchfield. Any questions or comments about any of these? Okay. All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passed unanimously. All right, we'll move on to discussion action items. A, consider approval of the 2024-25 audit report.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall. Here this evening, we have Scott Scarborough here with us from Hankins East of Deaton Times, Say in Scarborough. I present our 24-25 audit report.
Thank you.
He knows the rule.
Good evening, everyone.
Again, my name is Scott Scarborough. I'm with Hankins and Easton, and we're delighted to be your independent accountants. We really perform three services for you. First, we perform the annual audit, test the financial statements, render an opinion as to whether or not they're materially correct. Secondly, we perform a grant compliance audit in accordance with federal requirements in the Single Audit Act for all of your major federal grant monies that you received. And then thirdly, we help prepare the annual financial report that is submitted to TEA, typically by the end of January. This year is a little unusual. They've extended the deadline till the end of February, since the state's putting in a new system to receive those reports. And then we also submit the report to the federal clearinghouse for you as well. So we started working with Texas Public School Districts in 1968. So I'm new to the engagement team this year, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to work with your school district. We work with, this year we'll work with 51 school districts, and this is by far the most enjoyable school district to work with. Scott and his team are really amazing. We kind of judge the difficulty of an audit by the amount of journal entries that we have to propose to get the financial statements to a point where we can render that clean audit report. And you win the award this year for the fewest journal entries of any school district that we work with. So it really is the plum job, and I'm lucky to be able to work with Maybank. Let me just talk a little bit about the audit process, give you an overview very quickly, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. The process starts actually before the end of your fiscal year. We come in and do interim testing, primarily transactional testing. The year-end closes. Scott tells us that they're ready. We come in, we do our final testing. We go back to the office. Typically, from the time we leave the field, it's another 2 weeks of work in our office to get to really the final document that you have in your hand today. Table of contents is page one. I would remind you that governmental entities are required to present their financials in two different ways. One is at the fund level. That's how you operate. You operate based on your general fund and your debt service fund, capital projects fund, and all the different grant funds that you have. We're also required to consolidate all of those funds into what are called government-wide financial statements. Those would be financial statements most similar to a for-profit business. Those are the financial statements that the rating agencies look at because it gives them the total picture of your financial health. And the government-wide financial statements are page 16 and 17. And then beginning on page 18 are all the fund-level financial statements, all the way down till you get to the federal awards section. Near the end of the report. So lots of numbers, lots of words. Again, the district received a clean audit report. We are required, there are certain things we're required to communicate to the board. If there had been a disagreement with management, we would have been required to inform you of that reality. There certainly were no disagreements. We're required also to remind you that these financial statements do include estimates. For example, there are estimates provided by TRS in terms of your future net pension liability for your employees, and those estimates change from year to year. TRS hires an actuary that every year provides new estimates. And that's some of the most difficult to account in because every time those estimates change, we have to put that on your balance sheet. Certain of those changes have to get amortized over time, and so that's usually the most subjective and changing estimates that are included in your financials. This year was a little bit unique because there was a new industry-wide accounting principle that got implemented throughout the country with regard to compensated absences. This is the paid time off that your employees get to carry forward from year to year if they do not use those. In the past, we only had to record a liability for what ultimately we would estimate they would get paid. Now, under the new accounting rules, it's not only what they would get paid, but what they might use valued at their current salary rate. So So you can imagine that's a much bigger number. So your financial statements, like all the other financial statements in the state, now include at the government-wide level an estimate of what that liability is. So that was a little bit new this year. Other than that, again, a great result. The next step is, if you vote to receive the report tonight, you'll sign the certificate, and then we'll begin the process as early as we can, as soon as that new state system is ready, to begin uploading that to the TEA for you. So that's a high-level overview. Are there any questions that I might be able to answer more particularly? Well, if you do have questions, I'm sure your CFO could do an even better job than I could answering those. But again, I want to end by saying thank you for the opportunity to work with your district.
Yeah. I tell you, we're as proud of Scott and his team as you can imagine.
I can imagine. That's the one thing that keeps.
That's one thing that lets you lay your head down a little bit better.
Yes, sir.
This money is a big issue to everybody goes down here and votes for the rest of us. So, yeah. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Thanks, Scott.
Mr. President.
Mr. Litchfield.
I recommend the approval of the 24-25 financial audit report as presented.
All right. Motion for Mr. Litchfield.
Second.
Second for Mr. Teague. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right. B, consider approval of the 2026 CASB insurance proposal. Dr. Marshall.
Try.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall. Members of the board, you've got an attachment with the 26-27 insurance proposal, and this is one of the few times that, although it's a price increase we're pretty happy about, the last few years we've seen increases anywhere from 10% to 30% in our property premiums. This year, the property alone was only a 1.6% increase, which was pretty nice. We did have a little larger increases with automobile and some of our other liability, but overall, it's a $15,000 or 3.1% increase, which, again, I'm pretty happy about considering the last few years we've seen, type of increase we've seen. So no real changes in coverage. Recommending sticking with TASB and renewing our coverage for another year.
Mr. Tyrone?
I'm going to approve the insurance proposal from TASB as presented.
All right. Motion for Mr. Tyrone.
Second.
Second for Mr. Connor. Any further questions or comments about this? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. C, consider approval of the intermediate campus renovation projects guaranteed maximum price by Jackson Construction. Not how we're doing, it's how are y'all doing.
Yeah, that's right.
The cold and the wet's fixing to catch up with you.
Yes.
From 25 text messages I got from high school employees seeing iron go up yesterday and this morning, I think they're pretty excited.
Yeah.
It makes it real for sure. Appreciate you having us again today to talk about kind of construction projects that we've got coming up. Jason with Claycomb is going to go through the scope of the intermediate school, and then afterwards we'll talk about the cost implications of what we're planning to do over there.
So I'll just start from the front of the school here. New flooring in the admin area, new conference room, cafeteria, we're taking out the existing stage to expand dining. We'll have added security cameras, new wall tiles. Replacing kitchen flooring and wall base and floor drains inside the kitchen. We're completely renovating the life skills restroom area in this classroom. Refinishing the existing terrazzo throughout all the hallways. New wall tile, new ceiling grid, new staff restrooms in the back part of the building. Renovating
fixtures and finishes in all the restrooms, including the gym area.
Is that the locker rooms too?
Yes. Yeah, these are the locker rooms from which we're done. And then adding three offices into the library.
When does this get started? Is this a summertime deal?
This summer. Yeah, I think about half of it's going to start this summer, and the other half will be next summer.
We'll kind of split it down from about the middle corridor south. We'll be getting done for first summer, and then north of that second summer. And then we're working in the admin suite as necessary. I think we talked about that being this summer as well. So. As far as the proposal part of it, right before Christmas, we received subcontractor proposals on December 18th. We received 65 proposals from the market. As you can see, the scope was pretty limited as far as all the different trades, so that's still a great amount. As far as flooring subs, we received several, and electricians, all that kind of stuff. So we still got great competition for the amount of scope that we're planning to do with the intermediate. You've seen this form before. This is kind of our one-page summary of the evaluation of all those proposals that we received right before the holidays. Right now, as stands, we are asking for a recommendation of approval for the scope as described on the intermediate for $3,479,567.
Any questions?
Do you want this to happen to you, Ms. Bolton?
Was that all that y'all had? Is that the end of what you needed?
Yes.
Mr. Conner, sorry, I didn't want to get ahead of what they had going. All right, Mr. Conner.
I move to approve the intermediate campus renovations project. Guaranteed maximum price by the Jackson Construction in the amount of $3,479,567 as presented.
All right, motion from Mr. Conner.
Second.
Second, Mr. T. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand.
We got a voter out here.
We got an unruly
voter out here. Chief, be on guard up here. We got an unruly person.
All right, it carried unanimously. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing that, too. That's another good move. Get them all back to looking new again.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, D, consider approval of the Henderson County Appraisal District Board of Directors nomination for vacant position. Dr. Marshall, Mr. Tribe.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall. Mr. President, members of the board, it's not too long ago we already visited with this. We have a representative on the Henderson County Appraisal District Board in Mr. Adam Davis. But anytime there is a vacancy and all of the entities that contribute to the budget of the appraisal district get a chance to nominate. The two individuals that have recently resigned from the Henderson County Presidential Board is Larry Massengill and Maurice Cox, which that is representatives for Malakoff ISD and Henderson County. We want to make sure that we really look at the representatives of any one school as really representing all the schools, so we think it's in the best interest to show solidarity with Malakoff ISD and support them in their nomination. We're looking at right now, and Malakoff hasn't met and acted on this yet, but we're thinking that their recommendation is going to be for Randy Perry, which he is their former superintendent and would be a great representative on that board. So we would like to recommend nominating Randy Perry today to the Henderson County Appraisal District Board of Directors. Now, we'll note this is not automatic. We nominate individuals. That slate of nominees goes to the current sitting board of directors. The current sitting board of directors makes their placement based on that listing. So ultimately, there's not an entity vote except once every couple of years when terms expire, but with a vacancy, the board actually appoints from a slate of nominees. But I feel like supporting our fellow school district and their nomination would add weight for they could consider in their voting.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Mr. T.
I move that we approve the resolution nominating Randy Perry for the Henderson County Appraisal District Board of Directors.
All right, motion, Mr. T.
Second.
Second, Mr. Litchfield. Any further questions or comments? Don't stare at me like that. All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. All right, E, consider approval of the board goals for early childhood literacy, mathematics, proficiency in college, career, and military readiness, CCMR, for 2025-2030 plan cycle. Dr. Marshall.
Yes, sir, Dr. Marshall, Mr. President and Board. As presented in the annual report, it is time to update the board goals. They are required every 5 years. And the first goal, TES Education Code 11.185, is a goal for early childhood literacy and math. That's the third grade goal that's required. And the second one, 11.186, is the CCMR goal. And so, as presented earlier, we'd like for you to accept those as your goals. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
President. Mr. Connor.
I move to approve the proposed board goals for early childhood literacy and mathematics, proficiency in CCMR for 2025-2030.
All right. Motion, Mr. Connor.
Second.
Second, Mr. Porter. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Carries unanimously. F, consider approval of credit by examination, CBE, providers, and assessment. Dr. Morrison?
Yes, sir. Mr. President and Board, we, per legal policy, have to approve examinations to allow students in grades 6 through 12 to earn credit for academic subjects in which students receive no prior instruction. We have historically used Texas Tech University for those credits, but we are required to name four entities to use for those credits, and so we're proposing that we use College Board, Advanced Placement, and CLEP are required in legal policy. And then the other choices that we'd like to continue using are Texas Tech University and the University of Texas Austin. And we just ask that you accept those as our four providers for credit by examination.
That fourth one's a little sketchy.
it's actually listed. The other two choices are we write them ourselves and something about another entity. So those are the four most legit choices, and that's what we would like them to choose.
And we mainly use Tech, right?
We will use Tech for the most part, but we do have some students who would like to use some of the college placement tests that are offered by College Board.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
So
all right. Motion for Mr. Tiarena.
Second.
Mr. Connor. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right. G, consider approval of the 2026-27 service agreement with Capturing Kids' Heart provide professional development and CKH coaching for all campuses. That looks like a Ms. Groom thing.
It is. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, for the last five years, we've partnered with Capturing Kids' Hearts to strengthen campus culture, and we've had some measurable results with that. We'd like to continue working with them, and I'm bringing this to you earlier than I have in the past because we would like to lock in some earlier dates in the summer to have them come in and do our training. And so we're asking you to accept our proposal that we continue working with Capturing Kids' Hearts with all of our campuses.
And if you approve the calendar here in a little bit, that you'll see some days early
they're actually July 29th and 30th. And we're proposing to have those days prior to teachers coming back because it's for new staff. And so it gives principals the opportunity to have all of their staff with them during the week of teacher in service. And it also gives an opportunity for new staff to earn some of their comp time in the summer prior to coming back.
Everybody wins.
So. Nice. Thank you,
Mr. President.
Mr. Litchfield.
I recommend the approval for the 26-27 service agreement with Capturing Kids Hearts to provide professional development and CKH coaching for all campuses.
All right. Motion, Mr. Litchfield.
Second.
Second, Mr. T. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right, H. Oh, I hope I don't put y'all to sleep. Consider approval of TASB policy update 126 affecting the following. Local policies, second reading. BE local board meetings. BED local board meetings, public participation. CJ local contracted services. CJA local contracted services, background checks and required reporting. CLE local building, grounds, and equipment management, required displays. CQB local technology resources, cybersecurity. CQD local technology resources, artificial intelligence. CSA local facility standards, safety and security. CV local facilities construction. DDD local employment requirements and restrictions, conflict of interest. DEC local compensation and benefits, leaves and absences. DFBB local term contracts, non-renewal. DGBA local personal management relations, employee complaints and grievances. DH local employee standards of conduct. EEP local instructional arrangements, lesson plans. EFA local instructional resources, instructional materials. EHBAF local special education, video, audio, and monitoring. EIA local academic achievement, grading progress reports to parents. FA local parent rights and responsibilities. FEF local attendance release time. FFAC local wellness and health services, medical treatment. FFB local student welfare crisis intervention. FFF local student welfare, student safety. FFG local student welfare, child abuse and neglect. FNG local student rights and responsibilities, student and parent complaints and grievances. FO local student discipline. GF local public complaints. GKA local community relations, conduct on school premises. Dr. Morse, do you have anything to add to any of that?
I don't. It's the second reading, and this cleans us up on everything that was dealing with that policy update 126.
Okay.
I will add that the FNG is the one that we replaced through a DOI. So we would recommend that we accept all policies as presented with the exception of FNG local.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up down here.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So in their rating, they need to exclude FNG?
Yes, sir. It's part of the recommendation.
Mr. President. Mr. T.
I move the board delete FNG local student rights and responsibilities, student and parent complaints, grievances, and approve all other policy updates as presented, listed in the TASB policy update 126.
All right, thank you, Mr. T.
Second.
Second from Mr. Connor. Any questions or comments about all these policies? All right, here we go. All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right, I consider approval of local policy updates related to recently approved District of Innovation amendments. All right, DBA local employment requirements and restrictions, credentials and records, DCA local employment practices, probationary contracts, DK local assignment and schedules, DP local personnel positions, EB local school year, EEB instructional arrangements, class sizes, FDA admissions,
inter-district transfers, FNG local, student rights and responsibilities, parent complaints and grievances. All right. Do you have anything to add to this one there, Dr. Marshall? Or
no, that's mainly all these deal with our district of innovation and help us do some things creatively that make our job a lot easier.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Mr. Tarina.
I move that the Board of Trustees approve local policies DBA, DCA, DK, DP, EB, EEB, FDA, and FNG as presented.
Right. Motion, Mr. Tarina.
Second.
Second, Mr. Litchfield. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. All right, Jay, consider approval of the 2026-27 Maybank Independent School District calendar. Dr. Marshall?
You have the calendar in front of you. You've been able to look at it since we sent the book out. You might notice the one thing different since our graduation is later this year. We'll run the last day of school into that Tuesday so that we can have end-of-year activities at all the campuses. And by doing that, we have a few days kind of that opened up in that spring semester, and so we're presenting a calendar to you that also has a winter break in it next year, so that'll give us another break there in the winter. In February, it's a time when we're historically low attendance, we have sickness, we have bad weather, and we think that'll be a wonderful break, a time to get kids well and let people take their winter travel up there if they want to. That's the calendar we'd like to present to you.
It was only days off and off.
Well, you went to school in September and got out in May.
Yes.
Would you like me to face
that? No. You tell them.
There's somebody's dad.
He's going to croak when he sees that. Please show it to him as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Mr. Litchfield.
Recommend the approval of the 26-27 Maybank Independent School District calendar.
All right. Motion, Mr. Litchfield.
Second.
Second, Mr. Conner. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. K. Consider approval of the Maybank ISD Teacher Certification Acquisition Plan.
Tracy, I couldn't remember what this was, so.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That would be my honor, sir. Thank you, Mr. Grimes, members of the board. Ultimately, something that we've been working on for multiple years now, and we have discussed in some formal and informal conversations, is our teacher certification progress and our efforts to help grow our own right here in the Maybank community. And it also involves a great, robust mentor program that Ms. Barbara Conrad down the table there is involved in, as well as tons of resources at the campus level. Proud to report, and I'll flesh that out more in detail, proud to report that we are now up to 24 teacher certifications in just a short few years, 19 bachelor degrees, as you can see on the sheet. We currently have 45 enrolled in the certification courses and 17 enrolled in degree programs. So we continue to add more great talent in our pipeline, and we anticipate really in a short amount of time shoring up any lack of certification therein. And this plan is an opportunity with your approval, as long as you don't see any deficiencies in the plan. This plan allows me an opportunity to file with the state and get an extension to continue this progress. And with that extension, we'll be able to shore up a few more that really are very deserving individuals that are very close to certification, and buys us a little bit more time and opportunity to get there.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Mr. T.
I move we approve the Maybank ISD Teacher Certification Acquisition Plan as presented.
All right. Motion, Mr. T. Second, Mr. Conner. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. I consider approval of the board resolution regarding hazardous traffic.
This is one
every year, right?
Come to you every year. It's with allows us to get funding for children we carry within a 2-mile radius. And Randy has the audacity to want to carry kids across major highways and railroad tracks and dangerous areas. So I think we should be compensated for it. So good looking hat, Randy. So So that's our recommendation, is that we do this so we can be funded for taking care of kids in those hazardous zones.
All right, thank you, sir. Mr. President. Mr. Comer.
Move to approve a resolution of the board regarding hazardous traffic conditions.
All right, motion, Mr. Comer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Chiarina. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. All right. M, consider approval of the order of general Maybank ISD school board election to be held May 2nd, 2026 to elect 3-year term seats, place 4 and place 5. Just need this to be approved.
Mr. President.
Mr. Conner.
Move to approve the order for general Maybank ISD school board election to be held on May 2nd, 2026 to elect 2 3-term seats, place 4 and place 5.
All right, motion, Mr. Conner.
Second,
Mr. Litchfield. And Mr. T, give us neck and neck. 1.9 to 2. Well, John's got to make up for.
That's right. Well, he's
carrying. All right. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right, and consider approval of the interlocal agreement with Henderson County for May 2nd, 2026 general MISD school board election. It's just, we just need to approve this.
Mr. President.
Mr. President. Mr. T.
I move to approve the interlocal agreement with Henderson County for the May 2nd, 2026 school board election services as presented.
All right, motion for Mr. T.
Second.
Mr. Conner. Any further questions or comments?
Sports.
I have one comment. If any of y'all live in Van Zandt County, call your people and tell them to light a fire. They are dragging their heels again. I don't know what we got to do on that deal.
On
Van Zandt County. Henderson County's probably going to have to carry Van Zandt County's people again. And I don't know why they won't get back with Miss Carter. But anyhow, all those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right, move into closing activities. Any questions or announcements? I've got one that I messed up on earlier. I didn't thank Mr. Clark and Mr. Troll and little Mr. Troll for their hard work of cooking our supper tonight. So please make sure Dustin knows that those guys do that every year, and every year they do not disappoint. All right, number one is construction project updates for the elementary school 3-4 and Maybank Junior High and High School CTE.
We feel suspects
back. Let's get serious, Mr. Hyde's getting
up. That's right.
I'm going to go assist.
Y'all must be wanting more money or something.
Either that or he took a picture with his grown one anymore.
They took the pictures.
I think that's why they put all
the
iron in.
I'm just sitting here.
I think I will. So, starting with the 3-4 elementary school, this picture was actually taken yesterday, and as of 2 a.m. this morning, we poured all that section. And we started flying joists. So working on roof joists, poured another slab, working on grade beams around the storm shelter of Area A, which is the lower section here, breaking forms. I'm gonna be backfilling and plumbing in the middle section of Area B. All our piers are done, working on grade beams, working on steel, plugging away. Any questions on the elementary school?
Looks great.
Come to the high school. High school right now, CTE, we are working in the courtyard area, working on utilities for the canopies, getting those tied in, getting the planter boxes, all those utilities tied in. We poured the footings for most of that in there. Working on the storm shelter right now. We got to go up 16 foot. We'll pour our first lift for the ICF. We have 95% of our slabs poured. There's a little section they have to get into that courtyard that's not poured, but it's not going to impede any steel. They can hang columns and everything else right there. We're working on steel in Area H, and they've got a lot more up since yesterday. So we're rocking and rolling on the high school. Junior high, we have the storm shelter ICF walls poured. We're working on the roof. We have to pour, it's a concrete roof. So right now they're getting all the decking hung. We did our Nelson studs today, so the concrete man will go up there, hang his rebar, and then we'll be pouring that, weather permitting, next week. And then still going around that, we've got all the way around the building on the back side, over by the kitchen with our storm utilities. We've gone down from a 54-inch down to a 48-inch pipe. After they finish all the steel decking over here on this storm shelter in H, they'll move over to the steel for the new restroom addition. They'll hang that fairly quickly. Inside the building, we are working on our first section of remodel. And we already demoed, and we're going back to finishes right now, and we'll be shortly going over to the next section in the next few weeks.
Yeah, no major headaches or anything.
No, if y'all keep it from snowing, we'll work through that. It shouldn't take, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, we'll be back at it again. So, we're rocking and rolling.
When you gonna talk traffic now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Scott's gonna come up with traffic. If y'all have stuff for traffic, then, you know what? Maybe a good unintended consequence when we're through, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Take one, pass it down.
Step in for Mr. Rowley. Put this together. We have talked about this to death, but. I think it's one of those things that you can't talk about too much in preparation, but coming up in the 1st of February, Jackson is going to be working primarily on the west and southwest side of the junior high, which southwest side, or south side, is where the entrance is. It's where our car rider pickup and drop off is, and in the west side is where the bus drop off is. But we're going to have all of that. We're going to see fencing running all the way around this to the front of the school. They're going to be doing a whole lot of work in there. So we've come up with this modified pickup and drop-off plan. We think it's going to work pretty well, where we'll have all the cars enter in the far west entrance, come down and do their pickup and drop-off, form two lines there, and do their pickup and drop-off where our buses are currently dropping off. And then they'll have the option to exit north out towards the service road, which we think will probably be the fastest exit, or they can come south and then turn back. And we're hopeful that this might turn into something permanent and get a lot of pressure off this light, but this will give us a good test case. This is really the only way we can do it right now. You notice the buses will be having the run of the front of the school until they put the fencing up. They can drop off on this side, but then we have the east side of the school as well they can drop off on. So we've asked that the fencing be pushed back as close to the school as possible so that we will have a good lane there. You can see the do not enter here. Our main department or Jackson is going to create some barricades there because we're concerned that we might have some cars or who knows what kind of traffic trying to get in that entrance. So that will force the buses to have to make that turn into the traffic light. But once they get in that, they're going to have pretty much open right in the front of the school. But this will start on February 9th. Jackson's gonna have their fencing up, start on that Friday before that, I think it's the 6th maybe. Start getting their fencing up, and then this will go into place on February 9th. And we might have a little flexibility of when they're gonna start what, but we wanna make sure we communicate this to parents. So Mr. Rowley has what you've got in your hands in a flyer form that they're gonna be passing out in the
pickup and drop-off line. He's going to push it out through Skyward, as well as social media, to make sure everybody's well aware before we get up onto the 9th and get everybody time to prepare. But this is going on for a while. One other thing, we will have our kitchen shut down starting in March, and so we'll have to be start making some deliveries on the back side of the school, actually delivering food every day from the high school to be prepared at the high school, and then dropped off at the junior high. So we're going to have some things we've got to work through and work around during construction, but we've done a lot of planning, and Jackson's been real flexible on working with us on a lot of things, so I think it's going to work out real well.
And when you see things like this, two of the things that really stood out to us, other than, you know, when we recommend Jackson, recommended Jackson to you, one, they're the best in the business, but two, they're the best in the business doing this, working while, because we knew we couldn't take 5 years to do this, you know, every summer and Christmas. You know, we had to do these buildings, other than the 3-4, with students and employees. And so we looked at their track record, some things they'd done in the Dallas area and around, and we saw they were one, and everybody else was distant. And so you're seeing now some of the expertise that they bring, and a lot of it you take for granted. But like to be in and to do this so smoothly that they're doing, and to get the cafeteria. I mean, we're going to be out of it, what, 6 weeks maybe, or 8 weeks, something like that.
Doc, and if I can add, they've been part of the solution process. They don't back up and say, y'all figure it out, we've got to do this. They've been very active, all of them, participants, in trying to brainstorm and make things work for us.
And of course, Clay Combe too also brings in these ideas here, moving stuff up and adding this other parking place. And so that's made it where we can get this done and get kids into buildings. For example, the two portables that are out there, and the quote portable we created, Dustin and Screw did, 6 weeks they're out there, and then they're back in there in a new classroom. Mm-hmm. And then we plus six more out there. And so we're going to basically remodel inside of that during the second semester. So again, just a wonderful example of partnership.
One other thing I forgot to point out, the pickup and drop off point will remain right here, but you might notice at different times the entrances might change. So they're going to be bringing sanitary lines as well as storm drain lines across this area. This is one of the things where Jackson worked towards a solution with us, and that we may start off with the folks coming in, or the kiddos coming in here and walking through a fenced area that will allow them access to this door. A little later on, as they get down to this section, we'll have to move it to a door right here. But either way, they're going to work with us as they progress, so we can keep the pickup and drop off consistent. But there may be a little bit of gap between where the kids have to walk, depending on different phases of the project. But.
And we're putting the lighting in. Remember the lighting project we want to do in house after Dustin figured out that's best for us, and we're just able to work with them and alongside each other. And I think that goes unsaid too much, and people, it's I mean, this is incredible. And you know what, this may end up being our drop off if we think it's going to go as well as it goes as well as we think it is. This may be end up the new norm.
That's where the buses went when we were in high school.
Oh, they did. That was, what was the car pickup?
Everybody rode the bus.
That's right. Really,
yeah. You know, that's car
pickup. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That was a sweet car pickup.
It rings where you put it.
It rings where you carried
it.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, anything else?
You want to have fun Thursday morning at 8:30. There will be some excitement at Southside in one of the kindergarten classes. There will be a 1 hour of a lot of good teaching going on in there. That's Thursday. Teacher's one, the superintendent will teach your class. So
who's setting the timer, boss?
I've got to be.
I guarantee you.
I didn't even know about this, so I'm so excited.
A lot of be a lot of Grimes.
Your face surely said you didn't know.
Oh, first grade.
Oh, first grade, yeah.
She won the draw.
I don't even know what class to go to.
We'll get you there.
Well, he's starting off great, knows exactly where to go.
Southside at 8:30.
Southside. I was concerned about the concern on your face, though. A little bit.
What is happening?
Which campus?
I've got a little note that's got the Starbucks drink, and it's about 14 lines long. That is a blueberry muffin. If I get that right and get there with a few things to bribe them with, I can make it for an hour. I promise you I can make it for an hour.
Did you submit your lesson plan?
No, she said the lesson plan. I said, I got this. Yeah. I got this. My wife, Tammy, she said, what are you teaching? I said, I don't know. I'll come listen. And I said, we may have a little biology and a little geography and some.
I have so much confidence in this right now.
He's really trying to sell himself that he can make it. That's all I'm taking.
You feeling it?
I'm just thinking it's first grade. Good luck.
Oh, he's speaking it into existence, right?
I got one in first grade.
Oh, you might teach him, don't they,
Well, I'm just going to prepare you. I'm the only admin on campus at that time.
You're
right.
I'm the only admin on campus at that time.
We'll be good.
He says, I got this.
I'll take that class.
Don't push the button.
Disable it.
That's my first time going to 829 and say, where's the button? That's it. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else got anything? Ag and Farm and All Great?
Yes, sir. This is our show season.
All right. Show season. All right. Well, that being said, ma'am, since Mr. Taylor is here, can we retake our picture?
Absolutely.
All right. We want us all in. We want everybody in the tri-area to know how short we all are. All right, we're going to adjourn at 9:17. Thank y'all.